I will lay around sometimes and show some sadness for people whom I've known that now are gone. And I will smile to show you when I'm happy, and let you know when things are going wrong.
When Carmen and Grace sang, I found myself getting goosebumps.
She sang with feeling, and that's the name of the game. When you
need me. Carmen sang for the sake of herself and sang what was in her heart. And
give you strength. Well, I'll say Carmen was unforgettable. I don't think anyone else will ever sing a lyric like Carmen McRae did it.
People would always come back to Carmen and say, oh, God, I mean, that was what you just did to me. It was so moving. It was a song that I've heard before, but the way you sang it, baby, that was it. Well, that was her compliment. That's what she was striving for, to make people feel and share some of the things that she was telling you about.
I will paint your pretty picture with a song.
Carmen McRae, a great jazz singer in every sense of the word. Like so many who marvel at her work, I was especially touched by the way Carmen would interpret a lyric. This was her true strength. She made words come alive, creating a story with depth and meaning. And she took it further. She could make you feel it. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles. On this show, we celebrate the music of a true painter of song, Carmen McRae.
And I'll paint your pretty picture with a song.
The words of jazz critic Ralph Gleason.
Very, very few singers in any genre are able to go out there on that lonely stage, take off all the shells of pretense and convention, and stand there emotionally naked. She can get a quality of intimacy into a public performance that is almost embarrassing. It's so real.
Jazz singer Carol Sloan.
She also had the ability, and honed it over the years, to give a very dramatic interpretation to a lyric. And I'd think, without question, Carmen McRae brought to the reading of a lyric her own life experience.
Norman Simmons, Carmen's accompanist in the 1960s.
However she felt today, that is the Carmen that you were going to hear. If you came to the club to hear Carmen McRae, then whatever it was, if she was feeling down, then you're going to hear the best ballads of blues you ever heard. I mean, in other words, she didn't go there to put on an act. When she got up on the stage, her songs and everything were real with her. Many singers bring their act on stage. They don't bring themselves up there. They're not really, as you would say, naked. Yeah, Carmen was very, very real on the stage.
Carmen McRae was born in New York's Harlem on April 8, 1920, of middle-class Jamaican parents. She studied piano for several years and became an excellent player. As a teenager, she met the accomplished arranger and composer, Irene Wilson Kitchings, who became Carmen's mentor. Carmen McRae from John McNally's Castaway's Choice in 1984.
I happen to have met a lady who was very influential, incidentally, in my even being in this business, and her name was Irene Wilson Kitchings. She was at one time married to Teddy Wilson, and she was a great pianist herself. In fact, she introduced me to Benny Carter because she knew all these people. She introduced me to Billie Holiday. I thought she was the hippest thing I had ever seen or would ever see in my life as far as singing was concerned, you know.
Carmen McRae and Billie Holiday became friends. Bandleader Mercer Ellington recalls that as teenagers, Carmen would take him to nightclubs to hear the singer she admired so much.
Carmen was really more grown up than we were and younger, actually. But she knew Billie Holiday very well. And as a result, she would always adopt us and take us around and show us the ropes, one of which was to go to wherever Billie was working and sneak us in so we'd be in a back booth somewhere. And Billie would make sure we were taken care of, had the proper things to work with, like ginger ale. But outside of that, I mean, we could not have been more strictly taken care of by our parents or anyone else in the way that Billie did.
She has been my mentor, and she has been an inspiration to me that I don't want to sound like her, but you can believe every time I do something that reminds me of her, I do what I think she would do if she were me.
Hush! Don't explain. You're my joy and pain. My life's yours, love. Don't explain.
Carmen wanted to become a great jazz singer like her idol, Billie Holiday. But her career got off to a slow start. Her parents were practical people who thought she'd be better off as a secretary. For the next several years, she did secretarial work and performed as a singer-pianist wherever she could. She sang briefly with the bands of Benny Carter, Count Basie, and Earl Father Hines. And then in 1946, Mercer Ellington asked her to sing with his newly formed group.
Well, we got this gig at the Savoy Ballroom with my own orchestra and with some bunch of kids that got together from Juilliard. And we decided to have a big band. So then they said, well, okay, what are we going to call it? They said, well, we'll call it the Mercer Ellington Orchestra because of the name Ellington will make us seem big. And then later on, with Carmen right there on the scene, I said, well, you know, we knew she was musical, and so we hear her singing imitations of Billie Holiday from time to time. I said, well, come on, sing something. And she'd get up and sing one or two things. And generally speaking, it was always something that was related to Billie. But then finally she began to sing some songs that were not at all related to anything that Billie felt nor had sung. And she began then to become her own person. Yeah, I got Carmen to do a tune of mine that I had written and sort of passed me by. And I also made an arrangement. So it was two achievements that helped me out. And it was Carmen who sang it and made it. So
pass me by. I cause the trouble love can bring. Pass me by. I make romance a harmful thing. It may not show to one who's unaware. But now you know. So touch me if you dare, it really isn't fair. Pass me by. I may not always feel this way, though I try.
This recording with the Mercer Ellington Orchestra was Carmen's very first record. She made it as Carmen Clark, using the name of her husband, the innovative bebop drummer, Kenny Clark. Carmen sang with the Ellington group for a year and a half. When the band broke up, Carmen went to Chicago.
Anyway, I went to Chicago, and I loved it. I really liked it, and I wanted to stay. And now the only way I could stay is if I could sustain myself. I'd pay rent, I had to get a place to stay, and food to eat, and so forth. Now, prior to all this, I had was at one time, it's the story of my life, I was a chorus girl, as silly as that may sound. And I worked in Atlantic City. I only worked at this, like, for a year and a half or so. Oh. But anyway, after the show at night in this club in Atlantic City, I would sit and piddle at the piano. I would play these torch songs. You know, The Man I Love, and all the girls would just be crying. There was a girl in the chorus by the name of Lulu who lived in Chicago. And when I went to Chicago and I decided I wanted to stay, of course I had gotten in touch with Lulu because I didn't know too many people in Chicago. And she was very sweet to me. And when I decided I wanted to stay in Chicago, she says, why don't you get a job playing and singing? I said, are you mad? I said, I don't know that many tunes. Anyway, to make a very long story short, she talked me into going to see someone she knew who was looking for a girl to play piano and sing. And I got the job, 2 weeks with a 2-week option. But I don't know, I must have BS'd my way through that whole thing because I stayed there 17 weeks. And from that moment on, that's all I have done. I've been in show, you know, I have had something to do with music from 1948. I never did anything else from that moment on.
She stayed in the Windy City, playing and singing in small jazz clubs for the next 3.5 years. In 1951, Carmen returned to New York, and her career moved forward rapidly.
Well, I was working in a club in Brooklyn, and I was working with a group called Matt Matthews Quintet, and Matt was a jazz accordionist. Somebody was interested in recording him and trying to sell we didn't have tapes in those days, so they was going to sell the records to a name company. And he was for that, but he told the man that he thought they would have a better chance if they had a vocalist. The man who recorded us also thought I was had talent, and he said he had been waiting for some talent like mine to come along to start a record company.
You'd be so easy to love, so easy to idolize, all others above, so worth the yearning. Well, to keep every home fire burning far, you'd be so grand at the game, so carefree together that it does seem a shame that you can't see your future with me. 'Cause you'd be oh so easy to love.
Easy to Love, Carmen McRae with the Matt Matthews Quartet in 1953. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles, a celebration of the music of Carmen McRae. Carmen worked briefly as intermission pianist at Minton's Playhouse in Harlem, and then was hired by house bandleader Tony Scott to sing with his quartet. Freed from the piano, Carmen's great talent as a jazz singer became evident. Carmen McRae speaking with Marion McPartland.
I had made records, and Tony Scott had a band. He was very, very kind to me, Tony, and got Teddy Hill, who was running Minton's at the time, to let me come in to learn how to be a stand-up singer because I had been sitting down at the piano for you know, 5 or 6 years.
See,
playing.
Now then, were you glad to get away from the piano? Was it sort of liberating, or did you feel?
Oh, I loved it. I never wanted to play piano. That, you know, I like to play. What I mean was I didn't want to make it a career, you know. I really wanted to sing. That was my primary thing from the beginning.
Dick Katz was the pianist for the Tony Scott Quartet. Here he recalls playing with Carmen at Minton's.
Carmen was like the girl singer, and she would sing a good long set, and then usually at least one tune, I would get up from the piano and she would accompany herself, and she continued that practice until the very end through the years. She was a storyteller and a consummate musician at the same time, which was pretty rare. She was totally in control of herself, and she also wanted to have some kind of structure to the performance with worked out introductions and endings. And as a matter of fact, I did my first arranging for her. I made 9 little charts that were really just informal sketches, but they made certain that the introductions and the endings were coordinated, so it sounded like a real band.
Singing at Minton's Playhouse brought Carmen McRae to the attention of the greater jazz world. In 1954, she was named Most Promising New Vocalist in the Downbeat Critics Poll and Singer of the Year by Metronome. Engagements in other jazz clubs followed, and in 1954, Milt Gabler signed her for Decca Records. Carmen's first LP for Decca was called By Special Request, and this was the first opportunity for many people to hear this wonderful new singer. Here's one of my favorites, Something to Live For, on which Carmen is accompanied by the song's composer, Billy Strayhorn.
I want something to live for, someone to make my life an adventurous dream. Oh, what wouldn't I give for someone who'd take my life and make it seem gay, as they say it ought to be. Why can't I have love like that brought to me? My eyes.
At 34, Carmen was on her way at last. Contemporaries Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan were already jazz stars. Carmen made more albums, and within a few years, she was touring and performing at the important jazz festivals. But as her star rose, that of her idol Billie Holiday fell. It was almost as if the dying singer passed her soul on to the rising one.
Look at those eyes as wise and as deep as the sea. Look at that nose. It shows what a nose should be. It's lyrical, friendly, and warm as a summer's day. That face is just a miracle. How could I ever find words to
When this recording was made in 1965, Carmen had developed her own distinctive sound. Gone were virtually all traces of Billie Holiday. Carmen had been singing for 20 years, honing her art, always trying to get the essence of a song. She expressed her own musical personality with every melodic line. her own life experience with every lyric.
I'll find in no book what I find when I look at that face. Look at that face of yours. That face of yours. That face of yours. That fabulous face.
The words of Ralph Gleason from his collection of jazz writings called Celebrating the Duke.
It's the human voice, but Carmen makes it sound sometimes like a cello, sometimes like a saxophone, sometimes like a violin, and sometimes for brief little passages, and this is exquisitely difficult to do, like a trumpet. Then you get the words. Carmen McRae sings the lyrics of a song like Sir Laurence Olivier delivering a Shakespearean speech.
I love you, I love you, I love you in a place where there's no space or time. I love you for my life. You are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song to you. We were alone.
A song for you, from Carmen McRae at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, 1976. Singer Carol Sloan.
Carmen was my role model, and she taught me space, and she taught me the importance of bringing your own feeling to the lyric and choosing material carefully, choosing what is appropriate for you, not necessarily what you hear everybody else singing, or, but really that it had to make a lot of sense in many different ways. It had to be melodically appealing. It certainly had to have a literate lyric, and it had to be a challenge in some way. Otherwise, there was no point in doing it.
Carmen enjoyed musical challenges and looked for them throughout her career. She collaborated on several occasions with pianist-composer Dave Brubeck.
You know, when Carmen sang Take Five, there weren't many vocalists singing in 5/4 time. And she had no time to prepare for that either. It was like put in front of her and sing this. That took a lot of nerve and talent. Maybe I better put talent first.
Won't you stop and take a little time out with me? Just take five. Stop your busy day and take the time out to see I'm alive. Though I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day, not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and not a play. Still I know how eyes are. Meet. I feel tingles down to my feet when your smile that's much too discreet sends me on my way. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? You could offer a light. Start a little conversation now, it's all right. Just take five, just take five.
From the very first, Carmen sang with impeccable phrasing and diction, two traits which are important elements of the Carmen McRae style. Singer Etta Jones recalls how important diction was to Carmen.
I think she was a wonderful singer. She had wonderful timing. Her timing was expert. Timing is everything in this, tone and timing and diction. You see, diction is very important to me, and it was extremely important to her. She always talked about it. always, diction was one of her main things. Every word she uttered, you knew what she was saying. That was her. That was Carmen.
What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life. I have only one request of your life, that you spend it all with me. All the seasons and the times of your days, all the nickels and the dimes of your days.
What are you doing the rest of your life? With Joe Pass on guitar from the Great American Songbook, 1972. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is a profile of the great jazz singer Carmen McRae, a true painter of song, from NPR, National Public Radio. Carmen McRae had always wanted to act. She played in a few movies as herself and had a small part in the television series Roots. When she was hired by Richard Pryor to play his grandmother in JoJo Dancer, she was thrilled. Her principal acting, though, was in her interpretation of song lyrics.
I try to, particularly on the ballad, I try to make them like little vignettes if I can. I try to, you know, act it out as much as I can without being over dramatic, which sometimes I possibly tend to be. But it's fun.
That's part of Carmen, the actress.
The words of jazz critic Ralph Gleason.
And her performance of every song she sings, sad or happy, love song or dirge, saucy comment or heavy emotional binge, is a playlet, a short one-woman exercise in dramatic art. She lives those songs when she is singing, and thus she brings them live and direct to you.
Who's there to cook for? And what's there to clean? And how will I fill up the washing machine? How do you sleep with nobody snoring? Waste a tea bag for one cup of tea? A loaf of bread lasts me a month. How could you do this to me? Who's gonna balance the checkbook? Who will correct me when I'm right? Who's gonna change the fuse and zip me up in the back? Who's gonna kiss me goodnight?
Carmen always selected songs with lyrics that were personally meaningful. After two divorces, she was also married to bassist Ike Isaacs, and several failed love affairs, she became somewhat disillusioned with romance. All the hurt and disappointment she had felt throughout her life was expressed in her singing. Carol Sloan.
My own theory is that she was disappointed greatly in love, a situation when she was a young woman, and I think it was such a severe emotional trauma for her that it changed her around completely. And I just think that she was probably hurt a great deal in a love relationship when she was a young woman. And it added a wonderful spice to her her music and her interpretation of a lyric.
And though the view's been twice as clear, by now I know it pretty well. Those telltale things you tried to let go by are old familiar signs. I know the smile, the look, I know the book. What's more, I've even read between the lines.
Carmen McRae's style changed as she grew older. Listen to the difference between how she sings I'm Glad There Is You in 1956 and the same song 30 years later in 1986.
In this world of ordinary people, extraordinary people, I'm glad there is you. In this world of ordinary people, extraordinary people, I'm glad there is you.
Carol Sloan.
When she was young, and just like the rest of us, you know, she was born with this lovely voice. And if you listen to early recordings, you will hear a beautiful, lovely vibrato, very tight. You'll hear beautiful phrases strung together the way the composer probably meant them to be. They were being sung beautifully, but they weren't being interpreted. How could she know what she grew to know? And how could she tell us of experiences she was yet to know? She had such a unique voice. It grew in texture as she got older. Her notes shortened up, but she also can leave a lot of space between phrases, and that is a very effective technique.
Right here beside me, this row so new, I'll muddle through with you to guide me.
Through the years of working on her own as a jazz singer, Carmen McRae developed a tough exterior. Singers Abby Lincoln and Ernestine Anderson agree that the music business can be difficult for a woman. Abby Lincoln.
She was a beautiful woman who did her best to live in a male-dominated, European-dominated society, and sang what was in her heart. I know people said she was difficult, but it was difficult for her. I know it's difficult for me. I saw her in Los Angeles at the Parisian Room, and there were somebody was talking.
But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me.
Hey, stop that. We're going to teach you how to sit in the nightclub, sir. Now, as nobody says that you can't talk, but if you're talking so loudly that I can hear it, that's loud. So speak to your friend, but please try to speak a little bit softer, because it really annoys me, and I can't get my thing off up here, which I'm getting paid for, and these people can't enjoy it. So cool it over there a little bit, okay? Yeah.
At first, I thought that you could break this.
And continued and finished the show. in the tradition of the great women on the stage who know how to handle the stage.
Singer Ernestine Anderson.
If it's a woman, she's a bitch. If it's a situation where it's a take-charge person and they know what they want, and if it's a woman, she is labeled a bitch. So Carmen, you know, because she was a take-charge person and no-nonsense person, she got that label quite a bit. She moved to the beat of her own drum. She had her own drummer, and that's the way she lived her life. She didn't let anybody control her in any way. Carmen was always in control of what was going on in her life. At least she seemed to be. That's the way she was. And I think it's great.
If I should take a notion to go and jump into the ocean, it ain't nobody's business if I do. And if I choose to go to church on Sunday, and then I feel like trucking all day Monday. Hey, it ain't nobody's business. Lord knows it ain't. If I do.
Singer Joe Williams.
I don't think she ever wanted to be that quote unquote superstar. I don't think she ever wanted her privacy invaded to that extent. She wanted to play the piano and sing. That's what she wanted to do. She's a success as a byproduct of a search for excellence. And her most severest critic is Carmen McRae. Nobody's a more severe critic of Carmen McRae than Carmen McRae.
Carol Sloan.
When she was relaxed and feeling comfortable in her home, which she loved and which she cared for, she was funny and expansive and generous with her time and her advice and her. I saw her get very salty and very angry on more than one occasion, but I understood, and think we all did, where that was coming from at that moment. But she was very funny, and she was really a delightful lady. She was very kind and very generous to me, and very caring. I think she cared about me and my singing, which was an enormous compliment to me. I was forever stunned by that.
Woman chatter, woman talk. Woman chatter, woman talk. We sit around in the shade, using the good day God made, just gossiping till it's noon soon. What phases you and what thrills me, and what we think our men do.
I think she was afraid of letting people get too close, because she'd been hurt, I think, very deeply more than once. And so her protection, her device, was to keep you kind of at arm's length. You know, once in a while, some of us were able to get much closer, which was the most delightful feeling in the world. But she didn't allow that to happen very often.
All by myself, don't want to be. All by myself anymore. All by myself, don't wanna live. All by myself anymore.
Singer Ernestine Anderson.
There was a side of Carmen that she didn't show to most people. Example is I retired, and then I decided I wanted to sing again after about 10 years of not singing. So I went to Carmen and I told her that I wanted to sing again, but I didn't have any music. She had her music in two drum cases, drum kits, and she wheeled them out into the living room and said to me, "I think we sing in the same key, you know, just pick what you want." And she called the owners of Dante's in California and got me a job. And after that, I was able to get work and get my own music together. I'll never forget that. It was an act of kindness that I just thought was so great.
All by myself, I don't want to live. All by myself anymore.
But more than that, I really loved Carmen, because the Carmen I knew was a very deep, caring person, a lifelong friend, one that I felt anytime I needed a friend, a real friend, a true friend, I could call on Carmen if I needed to. And I've seen her be there for a lot of other people, too.
The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. For that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be. Except rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the sky, hummingbirds still fly.
Everything Must Change, from the LP I'm Coming Home Again, 1978. In 1989, Carmen recorded a tribute to pianist-composer Thelonious Monk. She had worked several years on this album, and it was very important to her. She had to acquire lyrics for many of the compositions, and then she had to learn to sing Monk's sometimes difficult melodies.
All of them I'd heard, but I never paid too much attention to listening to the melodic line, because I never even dreamed there were lyrics to sing to them, you know? So there were a lot of the tunes that I knew up to a point, and then after a while I had to listen to maybe in a certain 8 bars or 4 bars or 6 bars to really get the right melodic line.
Ruby, my dear, hold back that tear. Your love has flown, you're all alone. Oh, I know you cry. There's no reply. Doesn't go 'cause you say so.
Well, you know, I think that she was just coming into her own here toward the last part of her career. Even though the Monk album, I mean, didn't get her a Grammy, which I think she really thought was going to happen. But I think she was beginning to command better salaries, and she was certainly getting the very best offers, and she was working on the very most prestigious jazz festivals in this country and in Europe. And so she, if she ever felt that way at all, it certainly should have been apparent to her toward the end there that she was coming into her own. Many people were acknowledging Carmen as the rightful heir to everything Billie Holiday had given us. And I think she accepted that. I think she accepted it because she knew it was true. She knew her worth. She knew how valuable she was.
I was here before life began. In the wind and on the waves of the sea. Lying on the flowers, dancing through the trees. I am music. I am ageless. I am love.
After an engagement to the Blue Note in New York City in 1991, Carmen McRae realized she was too ill to perform again. A few years later, she suffered a stroke from which she did not recover. She died on November 10th, 1994. She requested that there be no funeral, no memorial, no flowers. She requested that she be remembered by her music. And indeed, she will be.
I said, I'm gonna try my best to be there when you need me. I am gonna give you strength when you need some.
Our celebration of the life and music of Carmen McRae, painter of song, was written and produced by Joan Merrill. We had help from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. A special thanks to John McNally for permission to use interview excerpts. Marian McPartland and Sherry Hutchinson of Piano Jazz, produced by South Carolina Educational Radio, and DeCapo Press, publishers of Celebrating the Duke by Ralph Gleason. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens. Executive producers Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horwitz. For more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for Jazz Profiles comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Nancy Wilson, saying jazz is as pure as the life we live. So live it.
And I'll paint your pretty picture with a song.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.